Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Luan, and in this case, I'm representing the petitioner, Jian Miao, last name M-I-A-O.
Thank you. I was having difficulty pronouncing it.
Yeah. I'm pretty much sure the court is familiar with the facts, which is very simple.
Yeah, and so if you give, I think you're correct that we are. Let me ask you what I think is the hard question in this case. This circuit has two published opinions, and I will mispronounce the names. One is G-U, and the other is G-U-O, dealing with similar situations. Tell me how you use those precedents in this case and how you think they help you.
So basically, the local court and the BIA denied the relief based on 3 points. One is my client failed to obtain corroborative documents from China. I'm not very familiar with the two cases the court mentioned.
Well, I think, I'm not sure this is a case where the BIA or the IJ found your client not credible. What they said was, I think, maybe I'm wrong, and correct me if I'm wrong, this set of facts, even if believed, do not amount to the kind of persecution that gives rise to asylum. Do you agree?
I disagree.
You think that they found your client... Do you think they said if these facts were true, they would constitute persecution?
Let's look at the past persecution.
Past persecution.
Okay.
We're not talking now about fear of future
this
persecution.
This court...
They believed her, so it's not a credibility issue.
Okay.
See, the absence of corroboration doesn't matter if they say, we find you credible... But even if everything you're saying is true, this set of facts doesn't amount to persecution.
This court has decided so many cases, okay? The fact is that my client was a Christian, and at a meeting, she was arrested, detained by Chinese police, and interrogated, and kept for 4 days. Right. Then get released.
We accept all that. I accept that all that is true because the BIA accepted all that is true.
So
tell me why that amounts to persecution under the asylum statute.
The case is saying detention is persecution. Arrest is persecution. And discharge from the main employment, which is support my client's livelihood, that is persecution. And
so how do you deal with the GU case? I see you said you weren't familiar with it.
I'm not very familiar.
But we have a published opinion in which the a Christian arrested at a house church was detained, I think, for a substantial period of time and subjected to, I think, more difficult physical abuse than your client was. And our court said that didn't amount to persecution under the statute. I tend to agree with you in colloquial terms, all those things are persecution, but I'm having difficulty dealing with that case.
Either it is inconsistent with the court decision, or I'm mainly rely on the Zhao case and the Zhou versus Gonzalez, which is this case, which is decided by this court. I think I don't have to give you the citation.
No, we have the cases.
Yeah. But, you know, this case is even more extreme. The petitioner was a Chinese young woman, went to Singapore and brought some documents regarding Falun Gong back to China. Okay. Then gave to her, I believe, co-workers. Then by the time the police was looking for her, tried to arrest her, she's already in the U.S. and apply for asylum. And this court decide, okay, that threat, okay, so first of all, past persecution, okay, she was detained, arrested, and discharged from work. I think this is in the string of the cases.
You think that as a matter of law, those three things establish past persecution so that the BIA, if it found to the contrary, would have been acting contrary to law.
Okay.
Is that your position?
Yes. Okay. I think, you know, Zhao case and the Zhou case, you know, in those cases, the past persecution almost not exists because the petitioner never met face to face to the police, never be physically detained, arrested, or abused or mistreated. But you know, so I think you know those strength of case designed by this jurisdiction, you know, support my argument. But you know, I think you know in this case.
And when you say, is it Zhao versus Keisler you're relying on?
I'm sorry?
Zhao versus Keisler, is that the case you're relying on?
Correct.
In that case, the petitioner was burned with cigarettes while beaten by police, and the police burned his hands and feet with cigarettes. And what I'm trying to get you to respond to is we have some cases that say even being detained is not enough, and we have some cases that say being detained plus pretty bad physical abuse is. And so I'm trying to figure out where your case falls on that continuum.
Your Honor, I believe, maybe I'm ignorant about...
No, you're certainly not. You're doing a very good job.
But I think this court has some inconsistency in deciding, you know...
Perhaps.
Okay, but I'm going to rely on Zhao and Zhou cases. Both are Chinese cases. Okay, I think this is even more prone or close to our situation. But, you know, I just want to emphasize, okay, in this jurisdiction, there's a rule. If the respondent can prove there's 10% of risk, objectively, subjectively, he or she will be persecuted back to the home country. This court or the local court can give the relief.
Right, so now you're talking about the reasonable fear of future persecution.
Correct.
What do you do with the country report, which the BIA seems to have relied on?
The BIA is, I think, selectively choose a certain part of the report. The report, the Chinese country report from long time ago to this point always say Chinese police arbitrarily exercise their power to arrest people. There's no criminal procedure for any arrestee or detainee to prove they're innocent. Okay, so, and particularly,
everyone in China would be entitled to come to this, get asylum in this country. I thought your focus was on persecution of Christians.
I think, you know, subjectively, objectively, there's a difference. A lot of people, they're getting so rich in China, and they're getting so powerful. They come here and do some sightseeing and go back. They think, you know, this country even is not as rich as luxurious as their own home. But, you know, the clients like the people like my client, they're small people. They were the victim of the system. And they just want to practice their religious. Here is the Christian faith freely without, you know, the interference of the government. And particularly in this case, I believe the past persecution, the past experience of arrest, the detention, and discharge from employment shows there's way beyond 10% of the risk, subjectively or objectively, for her to go back and encounter persecution again.
Did you want to save some time for rebuttal?
Yes, please. Thank you, Honor.
Mr. Bailon.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Jeremy Bailon on behalf of the Attorney General. To jump right into your question, Your Honor, about, again, I will call them Gu and Gao, the two cases on the spectrum when we're trying to find that line between harassment and persecution. So what we have in Gu, I believe, where this court upheld the board's finding of no persecution, is more serious physical abuse than what was suffered here.
What about job loss?
So I agree that you have job loss here, and that is also consistent with what happened in Gao. But I think that this is more on the spectrum of Gu, as I will explain, because in Gu you have more extreme physical harm. You have a longer interrogation. So in Gu you have a 2-hour interrogation. Here we have a 20-minute interrogation. And then about the physical harm in
it's
Gu.
It's described here as not particularly severe by correct. The petitioner, and in Gu it's much more severe.
That's right, Your Honor. In Gu you have, he's beaten with a rod at least 10 times. There's marks on the body. There's pain. Here, by her own testimony, the harm was not severe.
What do we do? I'm sympathetic to counsel's argument that our case law is less than consistent in this area. What do you do with the cases he cited?
And I think to be fair to opposing counsel, he was relying on Zhao v. Gonzalez, I think, as his primary case.
Now Zhao v. Zhao versus Keisler.
Both of those, but I think Zhao v. Gonzalez is probably the better case for him. And I think in footnote 3 of our brief, I give some what probably are diametrically opposed opinions in Tamang and Navarni. And so I think what we do is we apply the deferential standard of review to the agency's decision and look at what the agency did, which was reasonable in looking at Gu and Gao and trying to figure out where that line is. And I think that they did a reasonable job in trying to figure out where that line is. On the job loss, so...
I take it you agree that, in footnote 3 in your brief, that Zhu versus Gonzalez supports his position.
I do, Your Honor. But I think I think that case is an aberration when you look at the rest of the case law, and I don't think it's consistent with Gu or Gao, because Gu, you have serious... I mean, you have like 10... You have physical abuse with 10 hits with the rod. You have a 3-day detention. You have him reporting to the police, and then the court agreed with the board that that wasn't persecution. I don't know how you square that with Zhao, and I think under the deferential standard review, the agency reasonably looked at Gu and Gao and tried to figure out where that
distinction
was.
So can an agency, let's assume the agency reaches different conclusions in identical cases. Is that something we should be concerned about? And just because if we are reaching different conclusions in similar cases, is that something we should be concerned about?
I mean, I think if those two cases presented themselves, that would be an interesting thought process. But as you said, I mean, this is a difficult area, and I think the best we can do is try to look in Gu and Gao and see which side of the line it falls on. I think it falls on Gu. Like, look, we have job loss, which you don't have in Gu, but it's also here we have less severe physical harm. We have a shorter interrogation. In Gao, if you were familiar with the facts of that case, I mean, you have very significant physical abuse in that case. You know, you have a beating with
both. Do you think both incidents are remember, in Gao, the court says both incidents independently would constitute persecution.
So in my memory serves me correctly, there's in the first one, they push him to the ground, they kick him in the stomach, and strike him in the face twice. And in the second iteration, they use an electrically charged baton, they tie him to a chair and beat him with a rod. And I think that either of those are distinguishable from this case. And so I think that that's just much more severe physical abuse than what you're talking about here. And on the job loss point, right, we have being fired from a job here, which we don't have in Gu, right? Although maybe that's balanced out by the fact that there's less physical harm. But if you look at the facts of Gao...
How do we review job loss?
The standard is whether economic deprivation is so severe that it's a threat to life or freedom.
Can we tell that from this record?
We cannot, and I think that because it's petitioner's burden to prove that she's a refugee, she fails on that point. In Gao, it's actually the point that he went out and tried to find a job multiple times after he was fired and was unable to. And I think that's why it approaches this, like, affecting life or freedom. In this case, the problem is right after she was fired, her parents hired a broker, or what we would call a smuggler, to bring her to the United States. So we actually just don't know.
So she had no opportunity to try to find other employees.
Well, she just didn't present any facts that deprivation was that severe. Also, I mean, her parents are apparently have some means of being able to pay that high bond and then also being able right after that to afford the smuggler. So I just think, you know, I think the board was reasonable in the way they went around this case, about this case, and finding that this case falls more on the Gu side than the Gao side.
Even if we haven't been reasonable, or at least consistent. I understand the board has a difficult job divining what our prior opinions mean. But
I mean, I think this court is mostly consistent, and I think the bulk of the case law supports our position. I think, again, we have Zhao out there, and I want to be upfront with you about that, but I think that there's case law that rebuts that, and that it's not consistent with the body of this court's published precedent. I did want to move on, unless you had further questions about past persecution, and talk about future persecution. So I think that the problem with the future persecution claim is twofold. First, putting subjective fear aside, to have an objective fear of future persecution, you have to show this specific and direct evidence. And I think the problem with the reports provided is they actually don't show that specific evidence for someone similarly situated to the petitioner for two reasons. One, it focuses on the persecution of church leaders, of illicit church leaders, and there's actually things in there about how they want to take members like the petitioner and kind of move them in to the government-approved Protestant churches. And I guess this leads me to my second point is, this case is a little bit odd because in most of these cases, the petitioners are unable or unwilling to attend those government-sanctioned churches, whether it be because of religious belief or what have you. But here, there's actually no allegation in the record that she is unwilling, unable to attend the government-sanctioned Protestant church. And so if you look at the evidence that she submitted, those churches are on the rise, religious freedom in relation to them are on the rise, and you know, from that, I just don't think that a well-founded fear could be established, especially if you're applying a deferential standard of review in looking at it. If you don't have any further questions, I would ask that the court deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel.
Your Honor, this case, something bothers me. The IJ seems went out, you know, his or her own way to find non-existent factual ground to deny this case. He or she didn't even make a decision whether or not the testimony of the respondent is credible. It was the BIA made a decision. You know, they believe, you know, petition testimony is credible. I think credibility in this kind of case is crucial because
my difficulty, and I said this before, is that the BIA said, we're going to treat your client's testimony as credible. So there's no reason to send it back to an IJ to find it as credible. The BIA says she's telling the truth, but these facts don't add up, in our view, to persecution. So it's that legal issue, not how the IJ screwed it up, that I think you ought to be focusing on.
I totally agree with the court. And I have to admit, you know, I read many cases and found there's inconsistency. And so I think it's up to the court in the future to make more decisions to square those inconsistency. But, you know, but with the existing case law, I think this court should grant my client's asylum application, particularly if we consider, you know, future fear of persecution. The threshold, the requirement is very low in this jurisdiction. If in other jurisdictions, I would say she probably would fail. But in this jurisdiction, as long as the court believe there's more than 10% of risk she will be persecuted when she goes back to China, I think we should grant this application.
Thank you, counsel. I thank both counsel for their arguments in this case, and it will be taken under submission.
Thank you.